beautiful day today, isn't it?
You know, it is a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day today. Anybody see the rainbow we saw last Wednesday? Anybody? Woo! The double rainbow. Anyone see the double rainbow last Wednesday? That was great. I love the rainbows. I thought to myself, oh, behind my driver's license is a little fortune cookie thing. It says, if you want the rainbow, you've got to have the rain. So praise God for the rain today, the cold weather. I'm okay with all that. It is a beautiful day today, and it's all in how we focus and what we want to put our focus on. Amen? Some of my greatest canoeing trips have been in the pouring down rain with my twin brother. Doesn't sound like a lot of fun, but it was. It was the funnest time. And we had the greatest time going down the river in the rain. And I thought other people would cancel their canoe trip and say, oh, we're done. The rain's come. We're done. We can't do this. But we have to tolerate the rain sometimes if we want to see the rainbow. And that was a beautiful rainbow last week. I mean, it was bright and powerful. I thought, man, that's probably the brightest rainbow I've ever seen in my life. And I love it. But it's all in how we choose to focus and what we choose to focus our energy on. God says, man, I've come that you may have joy. He says he wants us to experience that joy. Let me get my notes out of the way here. He wants us to experience that. But how we focus in the morning determines how much of that joy we'll experience throughout the day. Get out of bed, grumpy, Lord, it's raining. The garage is probably flooded. Again, what are we going to do? Well, we've learned to get the boxes off the floor at least. You know, and put them on bricks or something, or put them higher up so they're not damaged. That took a while to learn that lesson. But the best place to experience His joy is in the presence of God. Amen? All right, our scripture reading today is Psalm 16, verse 1 through 11. Psalm 16, verse 1 through 11. It says, preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. As for the saints who are on the earth, they are the excellent ones in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offering of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. Verse 5 says, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you will not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. Let us pray. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word, and may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. Well, as Kisha said, today we celebrate 37 years here at Prayer of Faith. It's an honor that those that came before us allowed us to be here today celebrating that, made possible by our founding pastor, Pastor Jack Eldred, and his wife Jana. We celebrate them today, those that came before us. We celebrate you today, those are here today that are here today in the presence of God, ensuring that kingdom work still goes on. And today we also pray for the future generations. Man, that song we just sang, may the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His word that we just read. But in the song we sang, the blessing, He says, for this generation and your children's children. Amen. We're praying for the future, not just for our family's future, but the future generations that will preach the Word of God, that will teach the Word of God, that will learn the Word of God and continue kingdom work. I'm so thankful for that. Well, we celebrate our guests today. We welcome our guests today. A special welcome to Reverend Dr. Denise Abston from our Free Methodist Conference. It's good to have you with us today. It's beautiful weather. Remember, it's all on how we focus on it, but it's a beautiful day. Today we're going to look at three things that will come and ensure that prayer of faith is here in the future as well, but also have sustained this church. And those three areas we're going to look at today, God's goodness is number one, God's ask is number two. What is God asking us to do? And then number three, our response. Three things we're going to look at. God's goodness, what He's asking of us, and our response. Turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 28 today. As you turn there, let's celebrate this day today. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Whoo, man, 37 years, we ought to have something a little more powerful than that. Okay, let's try it again. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will. Thank you. Thank you. Powerful over there, here, here, there, everywhere. I appreciate that. Man, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Again, it's all in how we focus when we wake up in the morning. So today I thought we're going to focus on the goodness of God and His blessings in our lives. In Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 14. And I'm going to read this all the way through. It's just too hard to get my points across if I'm breaking it up, because I'll break it up every verse. So we're going to read it all the way through, and then I'll recap some of those things to point out His blessings, what He's asking us to do, and our response. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all His commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. I love that. All these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. We sang that in the blessing. That's right. I love that. Verse 7, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise up against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven different ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you and in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand. I could live with that. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Verse 9, the Lord will establish you as a holy people to Himself, just as He has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in His ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods, in the fruit of your body, and in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground. In the land which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you, the Lord will open to you His good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to the land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not be beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, go after other gods. You shall not go after other gods and serve them. Whew, that was a lot of stuff in there. God's goodness. It says it starts out and it says the Lord is setting you high above all other nations. And then He says, then all these other blessings, they're going to come upon you and overtake you. Who would love to be overtaken by blessings? All right. God says, I'm going to bless you. And not only that, but I'm going to bless you so much, it's going to overtake you. And then He starts going down through all His blessings that He shared with them. Blessed shall you be in the city and in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, the increase of your herds, increase of your cattle, the offspring of your flocks. Holy cow, he's going into our livestock and our animals. Blessed shall you be when you come in and when you go out. That covers both directions. The Lord will cause your enemies who are against you to be defeated. Not only that, it says be defeated before you. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but anyone have enemies they need defeated? Okay? Don't take it upon your own hands. Let God deal with that, okay? The Lord will establish you as a holy people. He will give the rain to the land in its season. He will bless the nations. I love this, man. He will make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only and shall not be beneath. And I thought, that's his goodness. He says, man, I'm going to pour out my blessings on you. In the New Testament, it says, Jesus says, I have come that you may have what? Life. He said, not just life, but life more abundantly. I want you to have my joy, but I want you to have it to the full. I want you to experience the fullness of joy. We'll get to that at the very end of the lesson today. He says, I've got goodness for you. Okay, great. We've looked at his goodness, his blessings on us. And there's promises throughout the Old and New Testament of God's blessings on us. What he will do, how he will provide for us. Okay, that sounds good. I like that. What's his ask of us? What is he asking us to do? As usual, usually in the very beginning, it'll tell you, sometimes in the very end. This happens to be both. Verse 1. He says, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, and then he goes on to say, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command to you today. And then it follows up with the blessing, what he will do. I will set you high above all of the nations of the earth. Oh. Okay, so we have to diligently obey him. Not haphazardly, not when it's convenient, not when we're in a good mood, instead of when we're in a bad mood. God, why do you want me to obey you when I'm in a bad mood? You know what caused that? He says, hey, you've got to follow my commandments all the time, diligently. If you observe carefully all these commandments, that's the very beginning. But then he sandwiches all those blessings in and he wraps it up at the end. Verse 13, and he says, and the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath. If, oh dang it, there's that word. If ought to be one of the greatest words in Scripture. If. If you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and. Okay, we're going to expand that. If and but. We'll throw that in there too. And are careful to observe them. Then verse 14 says, so you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day to the right or to the left to go after other gods to serve them. So what's he asking of us? I like that. He says he's our source. He's our provider. He's our protector. He's our rock and our refuge. He is our salvation. There's no need to look to the right or left for other things. No other gods to serve them. Quit looking. He says, I've got the answer right here. Oh, great. Number one, God's goodness, his blessings. Number two, what's his ask? Our obedience. Those are pretty simple. He's going to promise us all these great things. He only wants us to be obedient. Number three, what's our response? That's where it goes south. He says, here's what I'm going to do if you're obedient. I'll tell you what I'll do for you if you're obedient. Let's look at it this way. His goodness, free will. His ask, our obedience. Our response, you go to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis. Oh gosh, we lied and we sinned before Him. Wow. That was our response in the beginning of the Word. We lied to God. We sinned before Him. We messed up our response, church. Hey, I'm no Adam and Eve. Well, I'm Adam, but okay, never mind that. But you say, what have I done? I don't know. Have you messed up your response to God? He asked for our obedience in everything we do. Have you messed up your response? Yeah, it's okay, though. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So I'm okay. It's okay. God expects it of us. We brought on sin and separation and brokenness. But God still showed up after that. You know, it sounds like one of those medications on TV. You suffer with this, this, and this? I've got the answer. God. Uh-oh, what's the side effects, though? Uh-oh, it's our sin, it's our lying, it's our brokenness, it's our separation from God. And at times, in severe cases, it may even cause death. Oh, no. I don't know if I want that medicine. But it's supposed to make you feel better if you can get through all those side effects. If we can minimize our side effects of sin and separation and brokenness, separation from God. But God said, hey, guess what? I'm still a good God. He says, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to have a way for you to make that right before me. And I'm going to send my Son, Jesus Christ. And He's going to come and take on the sin of the world. In Romans, you know, and sometimes when we read the Bible, we can go through it very quickly. And we miss what it's saying. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it's right in the midst of a couple different toppings in my Bible. It's in between Romans 1, God's wrath on unrighteousness. Chapter 2, God's righteous judgment. And in the midst of that, Romans chapter 2, verse 4, Paul reminds us. He says, or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering? Listen carefully. Not knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance. I'm sorry, what? The goodness of God leads to repentance. That's what He wants. When God sent His Son into the world, it brought this light into the darkness of our life. He says, I brought Him in here so that He could shine a light down in those corners of your life, sometimes that you're trying to keep hidden. But God said, my Son is going to shine a light in all things that are darkness. It'll all come out in the light. But in the middle of that, we're all excited about Acts and Romans, and we get in there and we're reading through it, and we sometimes miss that. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? And we think, repentance? Oh, no. That means I've got to confess sin in my life. Welcome to church. Yes. He says, I'm coming to shine a light so that you can acknowledge and be aware of your sin. Why? So that you can turn from it. Because He says, I have blessings for you. I want to pour out my blessings on you. And And I want it to overtake you. I want it to overcome you. I want my blessings on you to almost be too much for you to handle. And my joy, I want it to be to the full. I don't just want you to have life, but I want you to have it more abundantly. I want you to enjoy this life. But in the midst of my goodness, he says, I want you to repent. I want you to acknowledge your sin, and I want you to turn from it. You know, Pastor Eric and I have been together doing ministry here in different ways for many years, starting in youth ministry. And as Pastor Jack retired, our commitment was pretty simple. Let's preach the gospel. How do you go wrong with that? It may not always be entertaining. We were talking about that earlier. It may not always be entertaining or fancy or dramatic or I don't know. We don't have all these stage decorations necessarily. We don't have these crazy video screens. But we're going to preach the gospel. And we're going to preach the truth. And we do that by talking about his goodness. What he asks of us, our obedience. And then we've got to look honestly at our response. A little haphazard this last month. You know, this is the last Sunday of the month. What do you guys do with the month? You know, I always ask that at the beginning of the month. What did you do with last month? And we're at the end. What did you do with this month? What did you do with the last 10 months of this year? What are we doing with our faith? God says, I've got this goodness. I'm putting this big bag of faith in your hands. What are you going to do with it? Oh, by the way, when I give you this big bag of faith, I only ask that you do these things. And for some reason, we're going, Lord, this is a little heavy. I'm going to take it out. Oh, dang, there's my old dirty, filthy rags. Let me pick those up and put them in here and clean up. And we start picking up our filthy rags and replacing those things. I said, man, leave those things behind. I'm going to take care of those for you. You see, I sent my son to die on the cross. You don't have to wear those filthy rags. You don't have to carry them around. You don't have to pick them up. You really don't have to deal with those anymore. But we choose to take some things out of that bag that God's given us and start picking up our dirty, filthy rags. He says, I don't want that. That's not part of the abundant life. That's not part of the fullness of joy. So number three, our response is obedience and repentance. You know, we didn't come along 37 years later by doing things on our own. We're led by God through different situations, different circumstances. This church has weathered a lot of things. The church body has weathered a lot of things. You know, our superintendent, Bruce Cromwell, sent out an email the other day. And it talked about this trip he had planned and all these stops he was going to make. Let me ask you a question before I go any further. Anybody ever have an agenda? Okay. And God said, well, I've got some other things in mind. I'm going to stop your car from working on the highway here. You won't be able to finish that agenda. I got it fixed. Woohoo, we're on the road again. God said, hang on. I'm going to stop that car again. I'm going to break you down. It sounds like in the middle of nowhere. And I'm pretty sure it was in the middle of nowhere. And he said, I was reminded of a story of the life of John Wesley. He said, while at Oxford, Wesley met a college porter late one night, basically an indentured servant. He was poor, but nonetheless, he was a deeply religious man. Said he owned one coat, threadbare though it was. He did not have a bed in which to sleep. Yet, it says, listen carefully, yet his joy was infectious. Why are you so thankful? Wesley asked. What do you have to be thankful for? Oh man, I want you, church, to be ready to answer that question. What do you have to be thankful for? And the porter said, I thank God that He has given me life and being. I thank God that He has given me a heart to love Him and a desire to serve Him. Amen? As he returned to his room that night, Wesley knew that he did not possess such gratitude. And the porter, with his sincere thanksgiving for his many blessings, even in the face of his poverty, his little means, caused Wesley to confess that he lacked such a genuineness and depth, listen carefully, of Christian experience in his own life. And I love that. He's talking about the Christian experience. Sometimes we miss out on that. Lord, I missed out on doing the work of the church and I missed out on the church work. Or I was doing church work and missed out on the work of the church. And I think if we're honest and look at ourselves, we probably feel the same way that Wesley felt. Oh, Lord, I've fallen short of that feeling. I know when Pastor Eric and I went to Guatemala, it was life-changing to look at how they took the few possessions but did the same thing. I thank God that He has given me life and being, a heart to love Him, and a desire to serve Him. And when we were down there, they had a heart and a desire to love Him and to serve Him. But I'm telling you today, after 37 years here, our God is faithful. Our God is good. Our God is here. Amen. He's here in the midst of us. And He'll be here in the future so long as we understand that Christian experience and what it takes and what He's calling us to for His kingdom work today. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, today we just proclaim Your goodness today. We give You thanks for the 37 years here at Prayer of Faith. We're grateful, Lord, for those that came before us. We are so grateful and thankful for our founding pastor and his wife, Pastor Jack Eldred, and his wife, Jana. Lord, for those that came before us, paving the way for us to be here today, those that were giving, planting, and watering. Lord, I pray today that we continue to plant and to water so that we can have a future that plants and waters. I thank You today for those that are here planting and watering this church today. Lord, for those that will come in the future to carry on kingdom work that began 37 years ago. Lord, we know and we acknowledge we are not enough on our own. Lord, in our weakness, let Your glory and let Your strength shine through in our weakness. Lord, I pray today that we humble ourselves before You as we give You glory and honor and praise today. Lord, I ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, today. Amen. Thank you.